Good morning, brothers and sisters. Have you shouted for joy yet? You done? Very good. Hope you're enjoying shouting for joy every day. Remember, don't just do it in the morning. You should do it throughout the day. You can quiet yourself and draw near to the Lord, or you can have some standing points. Then you can shout for joy. You can boast about it. For we have too many precious things happening to us. The most worthy to shout for joy is we became Abba's dear child, and we have joined with the Lord forever. All these blessings are brought by the Lord Jesus who nailed it on the cross for us. No wonder Paul mentioned in the letter to Galatians, "But far be it from me to boast." The meaning of boast is praising with pride. He boasts of nothing else, but what was he boasting of? Except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He boasts of our Lord Jesus accomplished the salvation on the cross. He boasts of the cross that he became the new creation. The cross consists of many meanings. Shall we boast of the cross? The first thing I think of the cross is the love of the Lord. How about we boast of the cross which manifests fully the love of God? It's so precious. The Lord nailed it on the cross for us. He has manifested his heart fully. He pursued us fiercely. When I was a young believer, we sang a hymn about the cross a lot. And one of the hymns I really liked was, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." I have a new understanding of the cross through this hymn. When I was newly believed, not only I was touched by the love of the cross, I was also compelled by the cross. So I understood what was the meaning of taking up his cross and following him. The cross told us that the Lord laid down everything for us. But for me, shall I do the same? That I will lay down my everything for the Lord? Shall we sing this hymn first? "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and poor content on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. Oh, the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them through his blood. See from his hat, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did such love and sorrow meet? All fronts compose so rich a crown. Where the whole rim of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
I hope you have time to quiet yourself and respond to him, or you can sing another hymn to worship the Lord. Let's have some time to be with him face to face. You can stop the recording and we'll read the Bible when you're done. May the Lord bless you. Brothers and sisters, we'll read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verse 1 to 8, and verse 14 to 18. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Verse 14 to 18. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. I have chosen these two passages to share with you, from which I was deeply impressed. Yet, we shall read through it as a whole chapter, but not separately. Shall we read in verse 1 and 2? Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus. The status of the Pharisees in the society was very high, and we have seen so many Pharisees, but this one was distinctive. If you look at Nicodemus outwardly, he was a good person. He was humble to ask Jesus, and he really wanted to know. He acknowledged that Jesus came from God. I don't know why he came to see Jesus at night. Perhaps he was afraid that others would find out. Or possibly it was more peaceful and less stressful to see the Lord Jesus at night. Thus, it is an encouragement for us to come before Jesus at night. We can go to the Lord and chat with him quietly at night time. Or you can ask him questions like Nicodemus. The Lord Jesus did not reject Nicodemus. Even the Lord Jesus welcomes each of us to come before him and pour out our hearts to him. He treasures these leisure moments. Nicodemus said, We know that you are a teacher come from God. He mentioned we, which sins among the Pharisees. Nicodemus was not the only one who were favorable of Jesus and respecting, but also affirmed that Jesus came from God. But their understanding was not very deep. All they knew was Jesus came to be a teacher, that is, to teach them. Yet, this kind of understanding was not good enough. In the Gospel according to John mentioned, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God. He is Christ. And this understanding is the most essential. It's so precious. Nicodemus came to seek Jesus for the advice with a humble heart. Jesus showed him the most important things as well. Why did Nicodemus come to Jesus? There may be two reasons. Firstly, as I have shared before, he acknowledged that the Lord Jesus was the teacher who came from God. That is to say, his teachings and his words could enlighten people to understand God indeed. His speech was full of power and wisdom. Secondly, the miracles which Jesus performed were so powerful, affectionate, and the presence of God was with him greatly. Nicodemus was a wise man indeed, for what he saw was not the appearance of the miracle, but the connotation of the miracle. The connotation was so crucial, as there was the presence of God, as well as his glory, his beauty, the characteristics of God, like his love, power, etc. Hence, respect and favor were generated in the heart of Nicodemus towards Jesus. He asked Jesus, "What question do you think he had asked?" It must be some key questions, or the questions which he wouldn't figure it out. He really liked to know the answer. As a Pharisee, he highly regarded the law of Moses. I guess he would like to ask about the law. That was the Bible. Then would he ask the Lord Jesus for rebirth? I don't think so. For the purpose of his visit was not asking for rebirth. Of course, the topic related to reborn was raised by the Lord Jesus proactively. The Lord Jesus valued very much whether a person can be saved and rebirth. This matter was extremely essential. The Bible mentioned there were two people asking Jesus what they could do to inherit eternal life. The Gospel according to Mark chapter 10 mentioned a young official who was very rich, and in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 10 also mentioned a lawyer who was very familiar with the law. It seems that in the hearts of the Jews, walking according to the law means gaining eternal life. Truly, they like to know the answer. Jesus knew what people were thinking in their hearts. Perhaps Jesus already knew what Nicodemus' question was before he came. Nicodemus might have had the same question in his heart. How could he gain eternal life? How could he see the kingdom of God? And Lord Jesus took the initiative to say that man needs to be born again. When Nicodemus heard Jesus talked about being born again, it then triggered his question about being reborn. Jesus answered him in verse 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, the meaning of this sentence is that the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus seriously, solemnly, and honestly. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The speech of the Lord Jesus was serious, full of certainty and steadfast. Brothers and sisters, we shall be very serious, solemn, and confident in the words of the Lord. What the Lord said, and it will be accomplished. If we try to comprehend literally, born again means to be born once again. But how could he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus didn't understand. The Lord Jesus explained to him again. Born again means to be born of the Holy Spirit, that is, born of God. Do you remember that we talked about being born from God? I got the impression that the one who talked about it most was John. John was really an expert on this subject. He mentioned a lot that we are born of God in the first letter from John. In the first letter from John, chapter 5, verse 1 mentioned, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ have been born of God. John explained clearly that those who believe in Jesus can be born again, and they are born of God. They are born of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we don't know what the Holy Spirit has done to make us born again. Just as the Lord said in verse 7 and 8 of this chapter, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. That is to say, those who are born again may not understand the process, but the fact of being born again is real. We have experienced. We were born again when we believed. Nicodemus was quite smart. Then he asked Jesus how he could be born again. The Lord Jesus told him to believe in him. In verse 15, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. In verse 16, that whoever believes in him should not perish. In verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus can be born again. And this was the answer of the Lord Jesus for Nicodemus. Brothers and sisters, let's think about your experience. Do you think it is so wonderful? Your life was changed on the day you believed in the Lord. Truly, it was like a new page in life. It is true that we became new creations. We may not know how to become a new creation or what did the Holy Spirit do in our hearts when we believe in the Lord. We felt happy, peaceful, and bright as soon as we believed in the Lord. I don't know why, but my entire body seemed to be completely transformed at once. It's because we have really been born again. We have become new creations. And what I enjoy most is that we are born of God. Being born of God proclaims our deepest relationship with God, the most similar to Him and able to be the closest to Him. How wonderful is this? And there is the relationship of Father and Son with God and are closely bound with Him. There is nothing that can separate us from God, for we are born of God. We are His dear children. Hallelujah! The second thing which deeply impressed me is verse 14. As I have shared with you from verse 15 to verse 18, the Lord Jesus said that as long as we believe in Him, we can be born again. And in verse 14 had quoted the verse in the Old Testament where Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, leading to the salvation of the Israelites. Of course, Nicodemus was familiar with this matter. The Lord Jesus was really smart. He used this incident to tell Nicodemus that the Lord Himself was the one to believe. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah yet to come prophesied in the Old Testament. Not only He revealed to Nicodemus what it meant to be born again, but made known to him that the Lord Jesus, who was present with him, was the Savior, whom man could gain life and be born again through Him. All we have to do is to believe in Him, look upon Him, and trust in Him. Those who believe in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. What moves you and me is that the Lord Jesus have been lifted up, just like when Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness. Those who looked up could be healed. How can we not be moved? The Lord Jesus expected to be lifted up and nailed on the cross. He was crucified on the cross in order we could be saved and born again of God. You can refer and read in Numbers chapter 21 regarding Moses lifting the serpent in the wilderness. The people were irritated and they complained to God because of the journey was so difficult at that time. They also complained about Moses. They complained and disbelieved. Not believing is a sin. God sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the Israelites, and many of them died. We don't know the process of their death, but the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, and we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He takes away the serpents from us." It was because the confession of their sins. Moses prayed for the people and asked the serpents to leave them. But there was a problem not yet solved. How about those people bitten by the serpents? There was no serum that could help them for detoxification. How could they be healed? Therefore, God said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. As long as those who were bitten looked at that bronze serpent, they would be fine. They hadn't taken any medicine or received any treatment, but they could get well. Certainly, it has something to do with faith. As long as man is willing to believe in a method of salvation established by God, and we are willing to take action, believe and trust in God, then he will be able to have life. Making a bronze serpent and setting it on a pole was God's idea, that he commanded Moses to do so. Why not just make a bronze serpent and leave it there for the people to look at? while lifting up the bronze serpent and hanging it high on the pole? If you know, you're welcome to leave a message to me. Of course, we knew better that hanging on a pole means that the Lord Jesus was crucified on a cross for us. What moved me most is that the Lord Jesus himself said that the Son of Man would be lifted up in the same way. That is, the Lord Jesus was not only lifted up, but was also like a serpent for us. He became the sin for us. In the second letter to Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin. He became sin. He was cursed and nailed on the cross. He took our positions as sinners. He was cursed on the cross." Just like in Genesis, the serpent was cursed by God to go on its belly. And the Lord Jesus also was cursed for us on the cross. Just as in the letter to Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 said, "Christ becoming a curse for us." The original text is "becoming." That is to say, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. The fall, unbelief, and rebellion of man have not stopped God from loving us. Truly, God loved the world very much. In the Gospel according to John chapter 3 verse 16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." God gave us his most precious one. The purpose is that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Not only not to perish, but have eternal life. Not only not to perish, but have eternal life. Being born again, who is born of the Holy Spirit, born of God, so that we have the closest relationship with God. And this is the will of God. Brothers and sisters, when I read these verses, I felt the great love of the Trinity God for us again. Abba, the Lord and the Holy Spirit loves us infinitely. The Lord came to fulfill the love dream of the Trinity God. The Father sent the Son to come. The Son nailed it on the cross for us. We are born again of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, truly how blessed, most blessed are we. That's all for my sharing. I hope you can be quiet and draw close to the Lord personally, be with him face to face, which is the most precious. You shall experience the love of the Lord for you, which is the most personal and unique. May the Lord bless you.